David. Good morning, church. Welcome back, teenagers. Our teenagers have been gone at camp all week. Hope you had a great week and looking forward to hearing about that. Hey, I did want to mention real quickly, it was mentioned in the announcements earlier. Ladies, there's going to be a women's retreat toward the end of October. I know it seems like a long way out, but sign up, start today, and it's a limited number. I think that those spots are going to go quickly, so be watching your email for announcements about that and links. I think a number of people have already, Sheila, have you signed up? Sheila's already signed up. If you want to be near Sheila, go to that retreat, all right? I want to ask you to sit in a prayer this morning. I want to read it and then just ask you to consider it for a couple of minutes this morning. This is the prayer. May Jesus enter into us and clear us out and cast away all the hindrances of soul and body to the end that we may be one with him here upon earth and there in heaven. So help us God. Amen. I just want you to think about it for a little bit this morning. Enter into us. Clear us out. Cast away. These are, this could be a difficult prayer to pray, couldn't it? We're in this series called The Beloved, and we're thinking about, I'm wanting to affirm each week that we are God's beloved, and I want us to do battle with texts and notions that we sometimes experience that cause us to doubt this on occasion. I want to affirm it over and over and over again for us. We've been making this claim that God is a community. God is love. God is a community of love. And the more that we grow in imagining and understanding God as a community of love, the less likely we are to imagine anything other than love coming from God. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. One of the ways that God expresses his love to humanity is through Jesus. One of the ways that Jesus communicates the nature of God and the love of God is through the act of healing. It's not just a display of power, although it is that. It's not just a faith booster, but it is an important expression of what's going on in the heart of God. What does God think about his human beings who are suffering? Does God have plans for his human beings who are suffering? Is God far away or is God near? And so often in the Gospels, we find Jesus seeing people who are suffering and attending to their suffering. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke. There are 10 lepers, not all of them Jewish. They see Jesus from a distance. They go near him, but not too close. And they call out asking for mercy from him. And Jesus' way of healing is different in almost every story. He doesn't, in this story, touch them. He doesn't have an ongoing dialogue. He just simply says, go on your way to the present yourself to the priest. And Luke says that when the 10 start toward the priest, they discover that their bodies are healed. And one of them, it's actually a story about Thanksgiving. One of them stops, returns to Jesus, full of praise and thanksgiving, kneels at Jesus' feet and thanks him. And Jesus has a dialogue about thankfulness and where are the others. But I want you to just, for a moment, sit in this gesture of love and imagine this is a kind of love experience, right? The reception of, I mean, being a leper included a lot of baggage and a lot of isolation. People who pretty much lost their lives and lived in little communes together, away from family, away from the public. They weren't allowed to go near. And so for them to receive just a simple word from Jesus and then discover that Jesus' word had taken effect in their bodies and they received from Jesus the thing that they asked for. This is sort of rare for us too, right? To receive from God in the moment the thing that they asked for. What kind of joy and overwhelming sense of love did they experience in that moment, you know? We get a little snippet of it in the one who returns and falls at Jesus' feet. He's overwhelmed by this act of power and what it means for him. What I want us to consider just for a few moments this morning as we work our way toward communion is that not all of God's acts of love. And not even all of God's healing, which is an act of God's love, is this kind of experience. When we're in the series and we keep talking about that we are the beloved and that God is love and that God, only love comes from God, there is a temptation to only use language that is warm and fuzzy, that's sentimental, and to sort of, for a moment, blind ourselves to the suffering that goes on in our world, the suffering that's going on in the lives of people in this room right now, to sort of just keep returning. God is love, God is love. And we've said this before, but you hear sometimes when you go into church, people, the minister will say something like, leave your worries at the door, come in and worship. And that's not what we want here. We don't want to pretend like the difficulties of life don't exist. We're talking about the love of God, and we're human beings living in a world that is difficult in the world and difficult for us at times. And sometimes God's love in healing isn't the same as what those lepers experience. There are those experiences that we have, and we tell each other about them because they boost our faith and they encourage, they remind us that God is love and that God is present. But it isn't always that way, is it? Sometimes when God's love, God's healing love, enters into the life of a human being, it's more like the demon-possessed man than it is like the leper. It can be a love that is received that is painful, that is difficult, that is even at moments, at least on the surface for the moment, unwanted. Have you experienced that? You feel that? The unwanted love of God? It's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I don't think we would say it that way, but we feel it sometimes, don't we? That if the love of God means the fullness of God's holy and healing presence, I'm not always sure in all moments that it's really what I want. I'll sing the lyrics in a song, and if you ask me, I'm going to pass the test. I'm going to say, yeah, that's what I want. But when I'm in my closet praying, sometimes it requires bravery for me to pray the prayer that we just prayed. Enter into us. Clear us out. Cast portions of my life away from me. This can be a frightening prayer. Just like there are stories of lepers who experience the more warm, fuzzy expressions of the love of God, there are plenty of stories in the scriptures of people who experience another kind of God's love working itself out in a healing manner in people's lives. One of those is the Apostle Paul, who early in the story is called Saul. I just want to read a couple of verses from one of the renderings of his conversion story in Acts chapter 9. If you don't know who Saul is, Saul becomes an apostle and a powerful minister for the church early in the days of the church in the first century. But before he did that, he was a zealot who was persecuting Christians. He was going from town to town. He believed that Jesus was a menace, that Jesus was a liar. He was not who he said he was. He believed that Jesus was only a human, that the claims of his resurrection were false, and therefore everything revolving around Jesus and the community that was growing out of that was heresy. It was his aim to please God by shutting this movement down, by taking mothers and fathers and families and imprisoning them, participating in the murder of people who were aligning themselves with Jesus. When in Acts chapter 9, when Saul is on his way to continue this work of zealousness, he is interrupted along the way by the risen Jesus. Here are just a couple of snippets from that story in chapter 9, beginning of verse 3. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, Why do you persecute me? This is the voice of Jesus. Saul is persecuting human beings who are aligning themselves with Jesus. This is, just as a little side note, a clue as to how God thinks about God's loving presence with humanity. Jesus equates the suffering of human beings to his own suffering. If you're persecuting them, you're persecuting me. He asked, who are you, Lord? And the reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Big surprise for Saul here. I'm not dead, I'm alive. Now get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. There's this little undercurrent within the story that Saul now physically experiences what has been true about his journey thus far. He is a blind man leading the blind. And now he is coming face to face with himself. This is the difficulty of truly praying for the love of God in all of its forms to enter into our worlds. It requires that we actually face ourselves. Paul experiences in a physical form the reality of his whole being, that he has been blind. And now he is physically blind and will remain that way for a few days. Jesus says this to Ananias, whom he sends to minister to Saul in verse 16. He says to Ananias, I want you to go there and I want you to lay hands on Saul and heal him. Ananias is afraid. He's afraid to go near Saul and he's uncertain about this. And Jesus says, I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. This is one of those lines in the scriptures that's like, yeah, God is love, warm and fuzzy love. And then Jesus says, let me tell you about Saul. I'm going to show him just how much suffering is coming his way. I don't think that this should be read as a declaration of punishment. Ananias, I'm going to make sure that Saul suffers equal to the kinds of suffering that he has caused. I think it's more a statement about what's about to happen to Saul when the healing love of God enters into a broken human being. The leper is one story, but Saul is another. And I know it's not the warmest or fuzziest claim, but when the healing love of God enters into our presence, sometimes it means coming face to face with the fullness of our brokenness, and it includes a journey of suffering. The question is it worth it? The question is it really what I want? I want to read this other prayer. This is a prayer that's become meaningful to me over the last couple of years. This is actually just part of the prayer. Come, my light, and illuminate my darkness. Is that what I really want? It's beautiful, but what is included in that? What do I expect to happen if God says yes to this? God, you are light. I'm asking you to come and illuminate my darkness. Come, my life, and revive me from death. Come, my physician, and heal my wounds. Come, flame of divine love, and burn up the thorns of my sins, kindling my heart with the flame of thy love. Do you want to join me in saying that one? It's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, we in the West, like it's been acknowledged, we have built an entire cultural system of keeping our minds and our bodies moving, 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 moving. And underneath, at least one of the drivers beneath that is, if we slow down, I was meeting with a member here this week and we talked about the practice of silence. And silence is more than just difficult because you have to remain quiet for a few moments. It's difficult because everything stops and now I must deal with myself. Now these words of invitation for God to enter in and be light in a place that can be darkness and to heal a life that is broken. It means more than just a celebration on the way to see the priests. It's another kind of journey too. It means groping around in the dark because I've come face to face with my darkness. It means experiencing the suffering of the love of God. It's not a line that you hear very often, is it? My claim is, it's good. It's worth it. I'm saying it. I don't always feel it. Experiencing the suffering of the love of God. What it means for God to take this little life and to peel away the layers. To express his light in all of the pockets that have gone dark. I'm claiming it's an invitation that we should accept. Here's my question. I'm setting this up for communion. Derek's going to come up and lead us into communion in a moment, but I want us to be thinking about this as we go into it. Here's the question. Do I trust God's love enough to ask for it? I want to believe that God is love. I want to believe that God is a community of love and that nothing but love can come from God. And I'm not sure that I'm always brave enough to ask for it. If I'm going to be honest about what it means for God's love to enter into the human existence, I have to keep returning to this. When I have a practice of reading these old prayers and reading the Psalms, and they can be very frightening if you pay attention to the words. I'm participating and saying this prayer that I know in the end I want God to answer it, but in the present, it might mean some hurt and some difficulty along the way. Do we trust God's love, God's person? Do we trust God's love enough to ask for it? So I'm going to ask you, if you're willing, if you don't have to, we're not going to judge you, to say the prayer that I read at the beginning, to say it with me, and lean into what it means for us to ask for God's love to truly enter into our space and do good for us and do good by us, given the cost that might be present there, the price that we may need to pay. Join me if you'd like to join me in saying this prayer. May Jesus enter into us and clear out and cast away all hindrances of soul and body to the end that we may be one with him here upon earth and there in heaven. So help us God. Amen. I'm down for the to the end that we may be one here and there. It's the enter and clear out and cast away that requires bravery born of the presence of the Spirit of God in us to accept that prayer again and again and again into our lives. All right, that's the invitation this morning, church. I don't know what I'm asking you to do physically with that. This is a heart wrestling. I'm asking you to consider the fullness of what it means for God's love to enter into our lives. And to consider the bravery that is required, to consider whether or not we trust him enough to ask for him to be love in our lives. All right, church, I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing one little song, and then Derek's going to come up and lead us into communion. God, in our very best moments, we trust you. And in the space that we don't trust you, we want to. Help us to trust you completely. As we keep trying to grow in believing that you are love and that we are your beloved. Help our minds and hearts to expand, to take in the whole picture of what it looks like for your holy presence to love us. Give us the courage to ask for your love, the courage to be still in it, to receive your healing presence, to make us one with you. It's what we ultimately desire. Open our hearts and open our minds to your abiding presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.